Hey lifers, we have an awesome opportunity for our listeners. We have partnered with PowerTank, the premier system for carrying air on your Jeep, on your off-road vehicle, in your personal life, around the shop. But we've partnered with them to offer our listeners a discount. And we've got a discount code, JeepLifePod15, and that'll get you 15% off of an entire system. And their systems are absolutely terrific. I run one in my Jeep, and it's great to be able to hit the trails, you know, air down so I can hit all those obstacles. And when I get off, I can just go straight to my tank, hook it up, run from 15 PSI up to 35 PSI in about 30 seconds per tire. So in 2 minutes, 3 minutes, I'm done and ready to go. I have the 10-pound system, and it is terrific. So 15% off on your power tank can be available at powertank.com. It is a full system that they're asking for. This is a limited time, so at some point it might run out. But for right now, Jeep Life Pod 15, and they get you 15% off the regular price. Our thanks to Power Tank for providing that discount to our listeners, and enjoy the show. Hey everyone, and welcome to the Jeep Life Podcast. We're a podcast that really celebrates that Jeep life and everything that goes along with it. And man, have we had the Jeep life this week. It has been awesome, and we got to share it with a bunch of Jeeples. I've never actually used that word out loud. It sounded kind of weird when I said it, but I kind of like it. You know, it's people and Jeeple.
I think if you use it in the right context, like, yo, what up, Jeeples? I don't really know.
Well, that bit of wisdom came from Don. How you doing, Don?
I'm doing good, buddy. How are you?
Oh man, I'm tired.
Yeah, me too.
Yeah, it's been a busy day for all of us for different reasons.
Yeah, for sure. Well, all right, I'm going to be totally upfront with everybody. Yeah. I took a nap today, so I'm not as tired as you.
I wouldn't give for a nap right now. Yeah, just Bill snuggle in with me. Did I say that out loud? Bill, how you doing, man? Speaking of you.
So first of all, there's a number 3 under that button. That's what I was saying. Number 3. The one that you just pushed to start the show?
Yeah, it says number 1. It's a 1. I put 1 there because I pushed that one first.
And no, then underneath the button, there's a white number 3.
I don't know what you're talking about.
Directly underneath the button.
Oh, I get glare from the LED. It's button number 3.
Right.
Because it goes 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6.
Right. I was saying it's 3 or 6. I don't know which one it is.
It's that one right there to start the music.
Okay.
Good. Now I know. But I have Sharpie beside it, number 1, because I pushed that button first.
Okay.
And then at the end of the show, I have you a number 2. Yeah. That's the best I can do.
Okay. It was like the shiny object. That was my shiny object for right there. I was like, I was so focused on the fact that it needed to be a number 3.
Yeah. Well,
the fact that he can see it from across the table floors me. Like, what are you, eagle eye? I mean, spidey senses.
And this is like,
we're both wearing glasses.
We're over there with the camera earlier. We're like, oh yeah, here, hold my flashlight with the light on it.
Oh, it's bad.
It was like size 12 font, too.
Yeah, it's not big at all. I wish people at home could see the mix board that I have over here, and it's a great mix board, but I couldn't see that number. There's not a snowball's chance in hell.
Especially from where he's sitting.
Yeah, right? Oh, my God. Yeah.
I'm telling you, the two of us were over at the camera. Is that the USB port? I don't know. Is it? Just put my flashlight on.
Put it in, see if it fits.
On the agenda, it says week in review. - fucking Monday.
We drove our shit to Shamokin to break it just to fix it up there.
Uh-huh. And then drive it back.
And then drive it home.
Yep.
Yeah. So 2 of our Jeeps needed parts from the part store. Is that accurate?
I made it 100 feet into lower.
Yeah.
100.
We literally were at it for 15 minutes.
We literally drove all the way out there,
mm-hmm.
got on the trail.
Started coming up, first little dip, which isn't even like, shouldn't be an issue whatsoever.
No, no.
Sector shaft sheared off.
Oh. So no steering. I was wondering why he was so close to that tree.
I'm in Billy's right. I'm in Billy's Jeep, you know, and I'm like, yeah, we're going to get some great video. We'll be able to cut a good, you know, good video from all this. And then I had all the GoPros ready to go and everything and planning on doing some spot today. And I'm riding in Billy's Jeep and we go down in this dip, this ravine that's like maybe 4 feet deep, you know, and as we start coming back up, Billy's heading for a tree. And I'm like, the hell, Billy? That's not the line.
That's not the line.
Yeah, and then I look over, and he's cutting the steering wheel, and I'm like, oh, man. I'm like, dude, broke the track bar. Oh. Yeah. But he comes out, and he's like, not the track bar.
My drag link was sitting on the ground.
Yeah.
And Pittman arm.
Yeah. It was one of those things where the best possible outcome came out of it.
Oh my gosh, yeah.
The part store had it.
Yeah.
Well, no, number two is that it didn't rip the bolts through the frame.
Right.
Because that would be the worst thing, because then it enlarges the hole.
Right, and then what do you have to...
And you got nothing.
To, right, exactly.
Well, we would have drilled a rock or something. Figured it out.
We looked like cavemen up there. We were using rocks as hammers.
So we figure out what it is. And, you know, in our infinite wisdom, because you'd left your Jeep.
Mine was in the parking lot, which turned out to be a blessing.
Yeah, yeah.
But I think, so everybody wonders, you know, if you're wondering what happened, and Billy and I were talking about it, we think what happened was that when he went down, the suspension compressed.
Yeah.
And because of the possible angle, the drag link, it shoved it up into the sector shaft, but the sector shaft was also a crap casting too. When you looked at it, like, it was just pot metal. It looked like crap. You know, the combination of them is what caused that to break.
Right.
It was one of those things where I had to turn around, and we decided, you know, we did some work on it. We have to go get this part.
It wasn't even did work. We took parts off to make sure that they
were right part. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. Like with fair enough. Yeah.
And so here we go, four of us jump in my Jeep to get off the mountain and go to Shmokin. And, you know, we're just going, and it takes a while to get all the way back out there. And we're in my Jeep, and it's making weird noises. For the first time ever, it has four human bodies in it. You know, I've never really done that. And it was making some noises. So we cruise on out. We get to Shmokin, but I'm driving there. And I'm disconnected and aired down, so of course it's handling like crap as we go there. So we get there, you get the part.
Yeah, $200 later.
What?
And then we make our way back.
We don't even get out of the town of Shmokin.
And I have to hitchhike up to AOAA to pick
whoever
up
that guy was. Thanks.
Yeah, right. Who's grandpa? That is he's a great guy. My Jeep. One of the tensioning pulleys.
It was the idler for accessory belt. Yeah.
Just
disintegrated. Boom. It probably got some dirt in it, and you know, some
the bearing
or something.
Got some. Yep.
And I had no steering whatsoever. I was like, hey, we're guys, we're not doing so well right now. So we
pull you had in. Steering. You just
didn't have power steering.
Didn't have power steering.
And he had no cooling. So it was pouring coolant out the back.
Probably overheated the radiator.
It was kind of a shady area, Shmokin.
So like right down the hill a little bit, like two houses down is where like six houses burnt down.
Yeah.
It was kind of weird.
And so we're there, and we don't have another vehicle, and I'm not sure Shmokin has the ability to do Uber.
We tried.
We did try.
You know, and I contacted Dave at AOAA as I was contacting him, because he's an awesome dude. He would have ran over and picked us up, but we flagged down a guy in a pickup truck.
I hop in the back and just keep on going.
He goes and picks up Don's Jeep.
Right, which luckily I left the keys in it. Like right. They weren't in Billy's Jeep because I rode out to Lower Anthracite and Billy's in the Cherokee.
By the way, I have your CB.
Did I leave it in there?
Yeah.
We would have been completely screwed.
Yeah, so
there's no way Grandpa could have driven out to Lower Anthracite.
No.
I'd be walking.
Yeah.
So yeah. Well, that was an option at one point. Billy's like, should I walk? And we were like, maybe run.
it was a long hot
here.
So he shows up just a few minutes later in Don's Jeep. So Don and I pile into your Jeep.
Me and Lexi sit on the sit on the sidewalk.
You're giving her lessons on
Jeep parts. Her something.
Yeah, so that was awesome. She still remembers.
Good.
So we go pick up I can't believe they actually had the
idler in stock.
In stock.
Yeah.
Wait, your fix cost $14.99.
Yeah.
Mine cost $200.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, that's what you get.
Piece of junk.
Yeah.
Cherokee.
Yeah.
Cost more to fix.
All right. Well, let's do the math. I mean, how many times more is a steering box?
Yeah.
So it's almost, 18 times more now? It's 16 times more, but the part weighs 16 times more than the idler.
That idler was nothing.
Yeah.
So the amount of material I got.
Right. You got your money's worth.
So it was.
Thanks for making that.
I hope you feel better. That was payback for earlier. Yeah, right.
We get that Jeep running, and so we go back. And what we found while we were there, I had cracked my track bar bracket.
Yes,
sheared it.
Yeah. So when we were riding in the back, we were hearing noises and stuff. So Billy and I at some point in the trail get off and we just stick our heads under there, and we're pretty sure it's bottoming it out. And sure enough, that's what it was. Because we had all our gear in the back.
Right.
There was Billy and I was in the, you know, we were in the back. And
Don's like 400 pounds.
At least. Yeah. Yeah. So we're, you know, but while I'm under there, I'm looking at the track bar or the bracket to extend the track bar.
And it's
on an angle. And I'm like, that's not right. So then when we got down to the parts store, Billy ran in with Lexi and you know, had Terry shaking it and stuff. And sure enough, you know, it was.
It
actually broke the extension bracket, the track bar bracket itself, but it also broke the one off the axle that's permanently welded to the axle.
Yeah.
So we had that issue to contend with too, you know.
And so we couldn't take that, even though we got it up and running again. We couldn't chance that taking that back out
completely off
to fixing Billy. So we stay in yours, and
right?
It's and not rode disconnected.
The bumpiest ride.
It is brutal. The thing is rowdy.
Yeah.
Or it was full tires, and oh man, that was a rough ride back.
It was better on the way back with the tires. Lexi and I were a little more comfortable in it on the way back. But that Jeep is rowdy. It just is rowdy. It like beats you up.
Yeah,
I've been saying that since the get go. And
mechanical bull style.
Yep. But
these two were able to fix the steering and get us off. And by that time, the park's ready to close. And. So we head back, we get in our respected cars, our respected Jeeps, and we head back to home.
We limp ourselves home.
It's literally it. I'm not driving fast. I'm gingerly driving that thing.
Barry was doing a speed limit for once. Yeah.
So we literally drove an hour and 40 minutes.
To fix our shit.
Yeah. To break it and then fix it and then limp home. So that was.
And I thought I was going to have a good day. Everything, like, freaking pinion angle on the rear. Like, I fixed that. I did a couple other things. Greased everything in the front end, all the U joints. I was like, yeah, you know, cool.
Surprise.
Nope. Nope.
You know, we drive past the trail. We go, do we want to do that one? No. We're going
home.
We're going to Lower Anthracite because,
I had
that hurt us last time. We've got
When we got all done, everybody's like, "So are we gonna do some more?" We're going home.
We're going home.
I hit one obstacle on the way. I'm like, "Well, I'm out here." You know, I signed a waiver, I hit one obstacle, drug my gas tanks, get over it. I'm like, I had enough fun before something bad happens. I end up on my side or something.
Now,
because that's the day we were having.
It was from top to bottom that Monday. And it was a holiday. It was, you know, we were.
I can't believe the parts store was open.
Yeah, that was, and that they had both of the parts. No. So kudos to the, you know, AutoZone in Shamokin for coming through.
They get the phone call. They see it on Facebook. And it's like, oh, Billy's coming to town. We got to order all the Cherokee parts.
So that was the start of our Jeep life week. And, you know, Randy says, we're not talking people into going off road right now. This is the worst case scenario.
Like, we are going up black trails.
Yeah,
like,
that was,
we're wheeling hard.
Yeah.
But we made memories. I mean, we had a lot of good laughs. There's things that we really shouldn't talk about on air, so we won't, you know, because right. We'll upset people. But we had some really good laughs. There may have been some back talk about the FBI and, you know, some things like that.
Female body inspector?
No. It was when you got in the truck.
Yeah, right. We thought you were going to be kidnapped and banjos started playing, all that stuff. Yeah. It was a good...
We had no other option.
No, we really didn't.
We were talking about calling the state trooper that was in town.
Pulling everybody over.
Give me a ride up to the... hey, man, can I get a...
At one point, Billy was contemplating beating the kid up down the road and stealing his bike.
Yeah.
I mean, it was a Monday from hell.
It was pink, too.
Saturday, you guys missed this, but a lot of our listeners were there. We had our Jeep Club, and it, for all intents and purposes, invaded a car show.
Cool.
And we had as many Jeeps there as were classic cars, and there were some beautiful cars. But there were some really beautiful Jeeps.
Yeah, I saw some pictures. Looked good.
It was awesome.
How many Jeeps did we have?
I know at one point 50 were there, and people came, and people then filled back in. So it could have been more,
right?
Than that, and it was good to see everybody. I parked next to Randy and Randy's Monster. You know, it normally I feel like it dwarfs it and dwarfs mine, and I pulled in. I was like, I felt pretty good about. You know, it wasn't.
Was Randy at 35s?
Yeah, he's 35s.
Yeah, and that at 3.5, it's a two door, so it sits a little bit.
It's different.
Yeah, it sits different, and man, it's a good looking rig, and he just spends a lot of time. But the cool thing about this, and I talk to people about it, that Jeep is absolutely gorgeous, but he's not afraid to go out and.
Yeah, he beats
run
it up. Yeah,
yeah, and then take 2 weeks to get it back to show ready and clean it.
Is it painted again?
Yeah, yeah, he does.
But it is. I mean, he does a phenomenal job at keeping that thing. Like him and Chris Owens have to be. I mean, that thing's meticulous, and he put a lot of wrench time in. I mean, he deserves the credit
the
for
awards.
It.
Yeah. And, yeah.
Just a ton of wrench time on it, and the guy works hard. He deserves it. So good for him.
Absolutely.
Yeah, and it was a good chance to meet some new people that I hadn't met before in the club setting, but it was also good to hand out some stickers.
Yeah.
And, you know, there were some people that actually listened to the show but didn't, you know, kind of put two and two together. So it was awesome to meet them.
Wish I was there.
Well, you were off.
I was in the mountains.
Yeah, you were doing cool things, and I don't know what you were doing.
Taking a nap.
Right, taking a nap. Well, speaking of taking a nap, our technical advisor, Scott, texts out a group, what, Friday?
Sometime.
Late Friday. Yeah. Let's go wheeling. And everybody was like, no, because you were going camping, and Neil didn't want to come up, and I was driving, so I was, you know, not necessarily able to answer. And then finally I'm like, I don't know. I have to get permission. And that permission drug on. And last night he texts 7, 8 o'clock. So
we go,
are we going? And I'm like, just a minute. And then I finally talked him into it, and we ended up going and, went out today and met up early. And it was one of the best days out on the trail. It was one of those days that was just, there was no agenda. Well, in my mind, my agenda was I wanted to kind of find the trail that I want to do for the second half of the day for next weekend. And we'll talk a little bit about next weekend when we get there. So I wanted to kind of map that out and see where I wanted to go. But also, I didn't want to go to lower. And
you know, and break shit.
And break shit. But that didn't stop us from doing some really difficult trails on the western side. And just had a really good day. The weather was perfect. It was like the most awesome fall day. It wasn't really fall, but you could see the leaves are starting to turn and there were more leaves down than summertime. But it was great. But I was handing out stickers to Jeepers that were out there. And a lot of them had actually heard of us. And
well, I mean,
it was pretty awesome.
There may or may not be some windows that are sticker slapped.
I don't know anything about any of that.
I don't know.
No.
Where would that be?
At my house, actually.
Dave knows.
Yeah.
But it was cool to be out and
tasteful placement.
Scott had a friend of his. His friend was driving. We got out the drone. We were doing some photo stuff, and Becker goes over a rock pretty hard and hears a noise, and looks down, you know, to see, you know, and we found one of your parts, Bill, on the side of the trail. so we found one of Struggle's yokes, and
that's a good one.
No, it was funny because he looked down and he saw it. And I was like, "Oh, did Bill lose another part?"
That is good. This is going to go in a collection.
Well, we thought about painting it gold and getting a gold chain and hanging it around your neck like you know, an 80s rap star or something.
I hear you. So I want to build a coffee table that is like a shadow box in the center.
Yeah.
And just start filling it with parts that I've broken or found.
That was fun. We had a good laugh on the trail on your behalf.
And what was handed to me is a piece of a, I'm going to say this wrong, a Caridian joint of a drive shaft. Or Cartesian?
No, Cardan.
Cardan?
Yeah.
Yeah. So what it does is it has...
Double Cardan joint.
Yeah, Cardan joint. It has a center ball in the center.
Yeah.
Basically allows two U-joints to sit very close together, but they allow for like a really good
maneuverability.
Yeah, it reduces the amount that each U-joint has a rotation of.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So I'm saying that right. So that's Don's awesome. Over in his own little world over there.
Yeah, you are. I'm reading something right now. Doing some research.
I love it.
He's researching while I'm trying to fumble over my words of explaining what this joint is on a drive shaft.
That was funny. We thought we'd...
it's a good one.
Yeah.
I like it.
Yeah, we laughed at you and Struggles. Puddles.
It can be added to the other yoke that I have.
Oh, you could weld the two of them together for one good one.
See what it looks like.
Start looking like the insides of the Death Star.
Carve off one side
we had a terrific day out on the trail and got to meet some listeners and talk to them, see them, hand out some stickers. I loved it. It was great. It was a good day. And you know, it was.
So what's your second trail gonna be?
So there's going to be 102. There's actually a lot of connecting trails, but it's a big loop. No.
What if we do a small group that wanted to do black?
Who knows?
You know what? You're probably right.
Group that's going to do blues and blacks.
Yeah.
Is there?
Yeah.
Yes.
You have somebody leading it?
Yes. Yeah.
Is that you?
No.
Okay.
Someone that we know in a very large blue Jeep.
Yeah.
Good. Okay. Yeah.
So
he and his brother are going to tag team that.
Okay.
It'll be
good. He said lockers are recommended, winches are necessary.
Yeah.
Recovery gear is necessary.
So that was really our day, our week.
Do we have people in the club that want to do blacks and blues?
I think there's,
if there's enough guides, I may actually try to jump over to that group.
Okay.
And what?
Depends on what I bring. Haven't decided yet.
I would definitely not take puddle.
I second that.
And we're disconnecting the throttle
right
on whatever you're taking.
I mean, I only have the JK, so
We can disconnect that. You just unplug that one. Unplug. Put your four low. And
I put it in eco mode on the throttle control.
There you go. Yeah. That's what you need. Yeah.
Scott says puddles isn't allowed.
Oh, okay. Thanks. He's not allowed. No, he's saying just me in general. I'm not allowed to go in that group.
He's not allowed. No way.
All right. Yeah. Yeah. After Monday, I might second that.
Puddles needs a rebuild.
Ooh. But so thank you, Don, for welding my bracket and taking care of that. Yep. And I know that we got you off the road. You guys are amazing, and I love being out with you guys.
It's awesome. We love working on your stuff.
I know. I love it.
Oh, absolutely. Now, it's, you know what, and Randy said it earlier. He's like, you know, you're talking to people, but it is part of the hobby. I mean,
yeah.
You're using the vehicle hard.
Any type of off, like four-wheeling, UTV.
Anything, racing, anything.
Any hobby that involves a motor, you're going to break stuff.
Yep.
And it's going to involve a lot of money at the parts store.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah.
So I don't mind doing that. You know, I've always been willing to jump up. And especially if I'm riding passenger, you know, I feel like that's sort of my payment for riding and burning somebody else's gas. And I've been leaving I haven't been wheeling much. I've been leaving my Jeep in the parking lot. Yeah. I mean, I've been out a couple times, but not.
Awesome with the guiding and
I really haven't had it in me to scratch up the Jeep. But then, ironically, I put a nice big gash in one of the wheels when we were rescued.
That's
so
right,
a done deal. I mean, I've made that decision for myself.
Once you do it, it's in.
Yeah, it just takes that first nip, you know, and then once you get that first scratch or that first rock rash, you're good to go.
Black nail polish.
Yeah, those aren't, but they're not black.
Okay, you just get the nail polish to match it.
I bet there's a shade out there that'll match.
Yeah, that's all I use on mine.
Bronze forged aluminum.
put it in there.
Probably in there. On Amazon.
I love it. We have a Jeep of the week.
We do.
And that's exciting.
Yeah, we haven't had one for a while. Actually, we've had this one, but we haven't had time to do it. But
I know. So tell me about this Jeep.
So a little bit of background on this. When I first got into wheeling, I mean, we're going back.
I found it.
What?
Bronze.
No way.
Bronze aluminum.
Get out of here.
Forged aluminum found shade.
That's hilarious.
There's all kinds of different like little
shades.
You'll
make it? So anyway, when I first got into wheeling, you know, this Jeep was, I'd see it all around town and you know, it was stout, especially for that time. It was on 35s, which was not, there wasn't a whole lot of Jeeps on 35s. I mean, if there was something on 35s, it was a big deal. Tabuta was a Rubicon, you know? So, this Jeep, was a part of Blue Mountain Jeep Alliance.
Okay. Yeah.
Back in the heyday. It was built by A to Z Fabrication, which is the owner was, and he's since passed away, but he's a hell of a fabricator. He's built a ton of rigs. We actually featured one of his other rigs when we did a Jeep Life ride. Remember, I grabbed the guy in the parking lot. That was built.
The jaw dropper.
Yeah, that was built by the same guy.
Okay, cool.
Very talented. But anyway, this is a 2000, I believe it's a 4 Rubicon. Not really sure. He told me, and it was a couple weeks ago, and I forgot. I didn't write it down. But it's TJ Rubicon, named Bobicon, and the owner's name is Bob Bees. Manual trans. It's got a Clayton long arm lift kit. And then everything else on it was done by A to Z. So they fabbed bumpers up for their custom bumpers, their custom sliders, race line wheels, 35-inch MTRs, which is what everybody at BMJA runs. They all run those MTRs.
Okay.
And it's just it's a great Jeep. He was talking about, you know, he hasn't had it out wheeling yet this year, and it's not a daily driver anymore. Okay. But he's talking about getting inspected and heading out and doing some wheeling. So,
that's awesome.
Yeah. So, really is a cool Jeep. It's been around for a long, long time. You know, I don't see it as much because he didn't drive it as much, but sits in his garage, but, he's had it for a long, long time.
Yeah. Thanks for sharing that with us, Bob. But it's, today there were a ton of TJs out.
Yeah. I saw some too. Huh? It's been like TJ.
Must have been. They all got the notification. Get out of your house with your TJ. We have some events coming up, and I And I'll just go through them and you guys chime in with them if you don't mind.
Yeah.
We'll start out with September 19th, which is a big day for us. And the club we were on, we do our Jeep Fall Trail Ride at AOAA. It's a great time out on the trail. We usually have, you know, anywhere between 6 to 10 groups go out.
Yep.
And it really is a good ride. We usually do a benefit, and I don't know what this year's, I know we're doing donations for it. Oh, it's Santa's Helper. We did, donations last year with that. And you know, it's a great chance to help families, have Christmas that they probably wouldn't be able to have. And we do toys and clothes and stuff, necessities for them. So it's pretty cool. And then, it's just a good time. I can't wait. I know I'm leading a group that's going to be more advanced greens, but we're going to have every range there. We're going to have beginners that have never been off-road before. My advanced greens, I'm actually stating up front that if you've gone off-road before and you're driving a stock Jeep, jump in my group. If you haven't gone off-road and your Jeep is lifted, maybe it's a mall crawler, but it's lifted, then jump in my group because you'll be able to handle
maybe the, do some blues
the
trail. Light blues.
Yeah, but I mean, we've got everything from beginners.
Which is my group.
Which is Bill's group, all the way up to blues and blacks. And so everything in between, I'm going to...
Reds. Do we have anybody doing reds?
I don't think anybody's doing reds.
Hey, not to change the subject, but I did find footage on YouTube of Upper Tax Bracket.
Yeah.
Greg Prudent did it.
Yeah, I found it too.
I think last time we went out, we found it and then forgot about it. And then, yeah,
but I mean, there's a video of Greg Prudent wheeling it and made it.
In a buggy that's on 42s, I think?
Yeah, an LS.
Yeah, wow. And the center of gravity in that thing is like...
Yeah, that's probably he's got it for sale right now if anybody's interested. If I had an extra 60K, I would be.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Then I think that morning there is a group of people in the club that are going to meet up and caravan. Usually goes from Wawa up to the trail, and that's always a good time to just meet up and see a line of Jeeps going down the hall, down the freeway.
Yeah.
Also,
we're going to be camping out the night before, so if you plan on camping, come say hi.
Come say hi. Hopefully
we don't bite.
I'll have stickers still.
Hard.
October 16th and 17th, we got the second annual Crawling for Canines at Roush Creek. I'm not sure who puts that on, but I guess the organization's Crawling for Canines. But it's at Roush Creek. October 16th, 17th is also the 2020 NAXJA NAC Rocktoberfest at AOAA. I know nothing about that.
So. All I know is I think that's an XJ. It's a XJ thing. So, Billy, that might be your thing. And I wanted to look up some stuff on it when I was digging this out. Didn't, but just came up on Facebook.
Yeah, NAXJ.
Yep.
A. So, North American XJ Association would be my guess if I...
That's pretty good.
Who knows, but Rocktoberfest.
It is North American XJ Association.
Yeah.
But
look at that. How about that?
Your secretary's on that,
isn't
he?
Yeah, he is. All over it. So Rocktoberfest will be on October 16th and 17th. And then I know that our club has our scenic drive, I think, the next weekend in October. I didn't look that up, and I don't remember the date exactly.
I don't know.
I think it's the next weekend, but
I figured I'd throw that stuff in.
That's always fun. It's a scavenger hunt trail ride, but we also are going to the headquarters of Valor, and that's our end point.
Yes.
And we'll be making donations to Valor, which is a terrific organization that supports our veterans when they first come back into the real world. And you know, it's our way to kind of give back to them for everything they've done. So we do, I think we've helped them on several occasions. We always do stuff for them for our drive-in night with the club. And so this is kind of a good way to do that. And the scavenger hunt's always fun. The president, Brandon, always puts together a great drive with fun scavenger stuff. So
yeah, he's really talented at that.
Don't do it by yourself. Pile a couple people in the Jeep so that you can drive and somebody else can can kind of figure that, you know, the scavenger part out. The first time I did it by myself, I missed everything because you're busy driving. And then after that, I got people in the Jeep and they were able to find it and complete everything. So that's fun.
So I'm looking at this North American XJ Association thing, event. So it's basically, it's like a Jeep Jamboree kind of.
Yeah.
You go up, you wheel, then they have like a dinner. The next morning they have breakfast and wheel all day the next day.
Nice.
So, and they have a membership fee of $35. So for the $35, you get complimentary breakfast, dinner, raffle tickets, a long sleeve tee.
For $35?
Not bad.
For the $35. Or the cost for non-members is $15 for the dinner and $15 for a tea.
Oh. So that's not bad at all.
And breakfast is still complimentary breakfast from Kelsey's.
Scott, if you're listening, if you can find us an XJ that we can buy for $35 or $70.
Why not?
We
just ride in Billy's.
I know, right?
You can just ride in mine.
Yeah.
Just might not make it home.
I think that's my reasoning.
We'll stash one of the JKs along the road right at, the entrance AOA.
So if we pull his XJ.
It counts.
Does that count?
It does, absolutely. All right,
excellent. Yeah. So we'll do that.
Thanks, guys.
It's out of love.
It's because I wheel it hard.
Yeah, you do.
Yeah, she
Well, for 100 feet.
Really, that's why I think I was going too fast or something.
I think you were. You hit it pretty hard, and I think it compressed that suspension pretty hard. Yeah. And
just
because you did hit something, it did bottom out and something.
Right.
Because we initially thought that's what it was until we put it back together and looked, and there's no way. I mean, that pitman arm's like 6 feet off the ground.
It really
so
is.
That wasn't it, you know. But right. But I think it came down. It was just the way it came down. It was your speed.
Yeah.
Yep. And then if you want a rock bounce, I mean, everything has to go to like 2-ton, you know, I mean, your Rockwell axles.
Dude, you didn't even, you never
responded. I know. Do you want them? Buy them and I'll pick them up for you.
That was cheap.
It was cheap. It's probably still available.
It is still available.
Yeah.
I mean,
we're talking axles again.
Yeah, I just
it's on a frame.
Out.
I was just wondering, much he can get for that scrap. Now.
Not much, but I can make it disappear pretty easily.
Can you?
Yeah.
That was my whole thing.
We can cut that up.
Okay.
All right. Excellent.
I'm gonna try to work the guy.
It's like
try to work the guy down a little bit.
Yeah, talk to him, and then we'll.
He was like 300 best I could do. No.
I'll give you 200.
Give
some chewing gum.
200 bucks that I'm coming to get.
Chewing gum.
I'm gonna mark this, and this will be a nice little snippet to just edit out. Yeah. If you have an event that you want your group to list on our, we'll be happy to shout it out and put it out there. info@jeeplifepodcast.com. We would love to be able to put that in our agenda, so that we can announce your events and get as many people there, or let us know. And maybe, who knows, maybe we can take a trip and show up at that event. That'd be awesome.
Absolutely. I would love to start doing some of that. You know, like we'd be glad to do that and show up with Jeeps and, you know,
hand
out
stickers.
Yep. Yeah. Absolutely.
Yeah.
Maybe do a little recording.
Yep. We might record from there. We've recorded remotely. To be honest with you, as much as this looks like it's bolted
portable.
Down, it's very portable. We've got everything ready to go to throw it in the back of a Jeep and record it.
Recorded at the school. We recorded at AOA a couple times now.
Yeah. Are we going to record campfire?
Oh, we could.
I don't know if that's such a good idea, gentlemen.
That's a good point.
But the wheels are turning. Let's.
Maybe like an early afternoon campfire.
Yeah, you're right.
Because
you
once
it
starts getting late,
I think
training
wheels fall off.
Training wheels fall off.
Maybe a post-trail ride recording.
In the parking lot or something?
No, at the campsite.
Are you guys staying Saturday night too?
Yeah.
Are you?
Yeah.
So we'll talk about that because that might be interesting to do. I think that'll be cool.
When I set up, I won't leave.
I'm not staying the night though.
That's okay.
There's no electricity. There's no sites with electricity. I'm not going.
Hey,
I'm not dragging a trailer out.
Guess what?
Huh.
the site that I got.
Electricity?
Has electricity.
Here we go.
I went online this week and they were...
Oh, yeah, they were...
There's only two left, yeah. And now they're out of electricity. I'm like, I talked to Amy, I'm like, I'm out. We're out.
I don't know. I got 106.
Yeah,
has electricity.
There's room... There's...
Trade you from my non-electrical site and I'll throw in... No, just two Jeep Life stickers.
There's plenty of room.
Plenty of room.
Yeah, but not if I bring up my camper.
Yeah, there is.
Plenty of room.
Well, let me talk to her. Are they going to be all right with tents and the camper in there? The off-road camper?
We've done it before.
We've done it before.
Okay. All right.
We've done it before.
And it's a pull-through site, so it's, I think it's 60 feet long or something?
Oh, yeah. The camper and a Jeep together is normally 40 feet.
No, it might be even longer than that.
Yeah, I don't remember, but it was a good size site.
Nice.
All right. That takes us all the way up to our main topic, and we're back on winches because we did winches, started winches. What seems like years ago, and we had decided we all
what's
have
a winch?
What's a winch? It's that funny thing on the front of your Jeep that
no, it's not.
Pulls it out.
I got a Toyota Corolla out there.
That's why I didn't hear you pull up.
Yep.
But it is your recovery on the front or somebody else's recovery on the front of your Jeep. And we have three different models. You have the Warren,
mm-hmm.
You have a Quadratec and a Warren.
I have Quadratec Stealth,
yep.
10,000-pound winch. No, 12,000, sorry.
Yeah.
And a Warren M8000S, which is a contractor winch.
Right. And I have the Smittybilt 10,000-pound waterproof wireless wired remote kind of thing. So,
yeah.
So that's where we are.
You guys
so
are both running synthetic line now, right?
We are running. I'm in full closed system now. I've got the Smittybilt closed link.
Thimble. What kind of line? What line did you get? Quadratec line.
Yes.
Is that what you got?
Yeah.
I think that's what I'm going to get, and that's Smittybilt thimble.
It looks like the Factor 55.
It really does.
Only it's black, and it works really well with. I have to say it looks really good on the front of the Jeep. So, all function aside, it looks good.
Yeah.
But it will function very, very well. So you can throw a D-link in there pretty quick and close it up. Right. So now I'm going to turn it over to Dr. Don for his, and we'll discuss everything going on. Now you've got a nice agenda with what we've got with winches.
Yeah, absolutely. So, Let's talk about winches. Let's talk about the things to look for if you're buying them. And Billy, you're going to have to help me out in some of this. You've really been doing your winch homework lately. But I think probably one of the most important things is ingress protection, IP rating. So a lot of... First of all, Billy, do you know how they come up with that rating?
Yes.
Tell me how they come up with that rating.
So ingress protection is a rating system that was created by a organization that there's different factors of materials that are used for this testing process. So water, dust, air, and I think other types of fluids they use, so like an acid, and each different IP rating states that it can withstand certain things. So like IP68, which is like watches and stuff.
Right.
They're submergible up to 3 feet for 30 minutes or something along those lines. So each one says it's past this standard.
Right. And so 68 is a minimal standard right now, I understand, correct?
Yes.
That's like this. That's like the minimal standard
right.
You want.
So
I have seen a couple. Like there's Iron Man winch out there, which is something new I haven't seen before, with an IP69 rating on it. And some of the higher end Warns have an IP69.
IP69 is out of this world.
Yeah.
Like it withstands, I think it's 1500 psi at a flow rate of like 30 gallons a minute.
So you could pretty much drive your Jeep up the Mississippi in the middle of it. And,
right. Yeah, and it's like,
yeah. So IP
it's a rating, fire hose.
IP yeah. ratings is something that's for water resistant,
right.
or water proof, if you will,
and dust
and dust,
but water and dust.
Like you know, an iPhone has an IP68 rating,
right?
And what that says, if for without moving, it'll sustain water resistance at 4 meters for 3 hours. Or 30 minutes or whatever. I don't know the exact, but that's not an actual moving. When you jump right. up to 160 or IP69, it actually has a greater depth. It can actually sustain
so pressure. Right. IP69 passes all tests of IP68
with the improvement of having even all hand pressure, actual pressure,
actual moving pressure.
Right.
Yep.
So there's so, like stagnant pressure or static yeah. pressure that they're when they put say a phone at the bottom of this tub that yeah. is the static water pressure on right. top of that phone right. pressing on all the seals. Now once you start moving it, this test device actually you put the object on a like a rotating table
sure
and it spins the water sits at specific angles
okay
when it gets sprayed
yeah
and it's like a fire hose getting sprayed
so. You know, and the reason I chose the IP rating, I've been working on a lot of Jeeps, a lot of off-road stuff over the years, and when 9 times out of 10 when winches fail, it's water intrusion,
right.
or dirt intrusion, mud yep. intrusion, whatever. Gets into the electronics, gets into the case where the you know the transmission is, the planetary gear set, the motor, whatever. But that's usually what. Does a winch in, and then you know you've got to replace parts, whatever. But so in my one of my first things, like when I was looking for mine, I wanted at least an IP68 rating. I didn't have the money to be able to afford an IP69, and to boot, I don't submerge my Jeep. I don't really blast puddles, and it sits in the door, you know, in the garage most right, of the time. Right. So, you know, I figured. It, looking at context, an IP68 was a great rating for me, but it should be minimally, in my opinion, IP68 rated, or you're going to have a winch that you're going to, you know, because you are depending on this in, so to speak, emergency situations. You don't want one that's, you know, going to give you problems.
Right. And the winches we're discussing that we think, you know, should be the minimum that you put on your rig. That you're going to go out and
right.
and rely on.
Yeah.
All the ones we're talking about are at least IP68.
Correct.
Right. And yep. I think that it's, for me, I don't necessarily think it's the first thing I should look at, but it is one of those things that is an added benefit.
Correct.
And one that I wouldn't give up.
Right. So right. I have a list of things that I wouldn't give up. But IP was like the first thing that yep. came to mind for yep. me, just because, I mean, it really was about the durability. Like, I want this winch indefinitely. I like this winch, and that's the one I want to keep, you know, and it fits decent. I don't have fitment issues. Right. And to me, that IP rating, like I said, a lot of times when I've had winches that have failed in the past and taken them apart, it's usually water intrusion. Like, you're worn with the locked up. It's probably clutch. Water. Yeah, it was probably
water, dirt, mud, and grease.
Yeah, yep.
that combination makes like a concrete.
Yeah,
yeah.
So it's. I mean, it. You know, it's important to have that. Yeah, I really would recommend at least a minimum of IP68.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, when you're looking. So another one, and I'm going to skip around on a list here that we had, but rope options, I think, is really important, too. So the last winch I had, I only had an option for steel cable, and we were talking about it last time.
Mm-hmm.
It has to do with the braking system, and I think the quality of the drum, because it's cinching down, yep. Rope actually, synthetic rope cinches down a lot harder.
Yep.
Which
is contrary to what you're thinking would be. You would think steel would be harder and be a harder force.
Right.
But in reality,
the physics says
yeah. when it is able to cinch down a little bit harder,
it
puts more strain on the drum and the brake.
Right, mm-hmm. right.
Right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
So I think, you know, having multiple rope options is important because when I got mine, I wanted steel cable on it. Now you guys are getting synthetic. I'm like, ooh, you know,
Synthetic's like just safer.
It is. That's the only real advantage you get to it is the safety part of it. And it looks way cooler. And unfortunately, that's the boat I'm on right now. I'm like, oh, that looks cool. I want it. You know,
but, right.
But I'm kind of bouncing back and forth because the setup I really, really want costs some serious money. And then, you know, the setup I can put on it right now is not a bad setup. It's good stuff, but it's not what I originally wanted. So I don't know. But nonetheless, you really do want to have both options.
Yep.
I think, you know, I started out with that with my last one with my super winch and it, and you could only put steel cable on it. And there, you know, I regretted it in tail end. I wanted to be able to run synthetic rope with it. But I think it's really important to have that option as well. And the braking system on winches that can do synthetic rope is a better braking system.
It's a cone system.
Right. And it's more durable.
Right.
I understand.
So the cones, there's two, it's a like convex and concave cone that they create a friction in the cone rather than actually using a drum friction brake, which... Basically, what I'm saying is the friction that is caused in the braking is on the drum, like the actual tube, instead of these two cones pressing against each other, which...
They're like synchronizers in a transmission.
Right. So you'd be surprised on how much actual heat that this like drum brake will cause, it'll actually melt the line to the drum.
The synthetic.
So that's a big no-no.
Yeah. Yeah, I think that, and I do think the cone braking system is a little bit better. I just think it's more durable. I have heard stories of drum brake breaking. I have not cone, maybe it's just what I heard, but anyway, just, you know, shooting out there. The construction of a winch, that's kind of been a big thing. We actually use at the school, we use a super winch on our trailer to pull stuff up, and I bought it. Bought it back, I don't know, 4 years ago, 5 years ago, maybe. And I had some problems with the winch, actually, because, and it was my own fault, I didn't mount it securely enough. I mounted it with large plates under wood. The problem was the wood would flex and move, and the winch, it was actually causing the winch body
to flex and move.
They're
only held together with like these four bolts on the top.
Yeah.
So they have to be mounted to a plate that holds the
The structural integrity comes from the plate, not the winch itself.
Yeah.
But now what you're seeing is because of the loads put on the drum and you know stuff like that, you're actually seeing unibody construction.
They're using connector plates, called.
Right.
So they're actually a tongue and groove that sit together on each side.
Right.
Okay, yeah.
With the bolts still in there, but it doesn't allow it to flex as much, and it's a solid plate across the top.
So the Warn is like that I got. Right. They're, you know, Warn's big on it. It gives the whole chassis a lot more integrity, keeps it from twisting around, because what happened was it actually broke bolts, and, you know, the bolts that hold it together, it broke, and it pulled one right out, pulled the threads out, and, you know, so... had I not caught it when I did, it would have been a mess. I mean, it would have pulled the ends out of the drum, and that would have been the end of that winch. And, you know, of course, the car I was dragging on it. But that's a big deal now. Like I said, they're using it. It's like a uni, I forget what they call it, uni construction or something like that, where it looks like it's all one piece. Mm. It's not, but it looks like it is.
Yep.
Warren uses it. I noticed, I think, Smitty is starting to use it. I think I saw it in one of their winches, and, I think the quadrant, the stealth winch uses that too, correct?
Yes.
So, you know, that's another important part of it.
Oh, wow.
Billy, let's talk about, well, you talked about last time, but let's just reiterate what really is better with the wireless remote option.
So the best...
While you're thinking about that, let me just backstep. In my opinion, anything that you can, I think having a backup wired remote is really, really important, not just running a wireless.
Correct.
Yeah.
I think you have to have that backup.
Which I'm pretty sure all winches on the market that have a wireless remote have the backup.
Mine is wireless.
Quadratec does. Warren does.
Yep. I've actually never ran it wireless.
Right. So that's probably a good thing.
Right.
Because the Smitty belts don't have an automatic off on them.
Right.
their remote has an automatic off, but their winch does not.
Right.
So when you leave that winch on, the wireless remote, if it
disconnects it, so when it
never disconnects. So the 3.15 gigahertz frequency for the remote,
yeah,
is a non-pairing frequency.
Right. It's just
so you
on.
Just turn it on. It's on. It uses a different megahertz or the different crystals.
Right. Right.
In them per winch, and so they're paired. Like, so it'll only communicate to itself.
Right.
So that's saying, like, if me and Terry are next to each other and we both have Smitty built winches, I can't control his, he can't control mine.
Right, right.
So they use individual crystals, but there's only so many crystals within that band,
sure,
of that bandwidth. So you do get overlap every once in a while. Now, the 2.5 gigahertz, or 2.15 gigahertz, don't fully take this to heart, but that is a pairing frequency, so you have to pair the remote to the winch.
Right.
Which also allows for more versatility in the fact of, like, okay, we're going to pair this. There's more functions in it.
Mm-hmm.
This and that.
Yeah, those are typically the remotes that have, like, right, the temperature readings on them.
Yeah,
for the
there's
winch
a lot things, more sure, different things you can send over that frequency. However, Warren's use a 315, same as Smitty built. Quadratec Stealth Winch uses a 2.5. So Quadratec is a pairing remote,
mm-hmm,
where Warren is not.
Right, right.
Warren, it's basically you just turn it on and go, or you...
Right, that's mine. Mine is not a pairing.
You just, right, right. But also at the same time, like, I haven't had to repair my remote yet.
Right.
So I think you only have to repair after your battery dies.
Right.
So.
Huh. Well, I do think, you know, and again, I think if you're looking one, look for a remote that runs on the 2.15 gigahertz. And basically something that you're pairing,
right?
Because so you don't have interference and all that. But I do agree with you, you know, with the Smitty build or any of them.
Make sure there's an automatic off.
Yeah, I really just feel like it's better. Like, I did want, that was one of the things I looked at. I did want a wireless remote, but the more I read and learned about it, the more the horror stories I heard. You know, I think I'm just going to run it wired. I really do. And I'll be honest with you, my remote's a little bit funky. I mean, I haven't pulled a lot of line, just played around with it in the garage since I put it on.
Yeah.
It doesn't do it when it's plugged in, but it is a little bit, it lags a little when I'm
wireless.
Yeah, yeah, it does. I actually let
go
to the button.
Send the signal over.
And it's got to be processed. And, right, and I mean, there's, yep, a good second to half a second where the winch is still running them off of it. And that can be a big difference when you're pulling, you know, if you get to a point where somebody's saying, hey, cut it. And you get off and there's still another, you know, 6 inches of line that's being pulled in after they tell you to cut it.
Yep.
That can create some damage so I would recommend get into using a wired remote, you know, so make sure you have at least 12 foot of, mm-hmm, of cord, you know, I think is important. But I did want the wireless remote and you know, yeah, I got it, and I don't know, it just seems like it's like a car when they come out with new features.
Yeah.
And it's got a touch screen. I need to buy it, you know.
I know, right? I know.
So how about electronics, Billy? We were talking about this, you and I were talking about this last time we did winches, and this isn't something that's really, this is something you really have to do your homework on. You got to do some, read some reviews.
Read a lot of reviews.
Yeah.
Because, going to be honest with you, you're not going to find this information easily.
No, but it is really important. And like I said, I you know, the problems that I've had, or I've dealt with in my old winch, was not electronic, but it was the contactors, you know, mm-hmm, it was issues with those, just corroding over time and building up, yep, resistance. But you know, and I don't feel like it's our place to get into which are great. You know, Billy and I talked about this, and there is some insider information we both have there, and we're you know, mm-hmm, we're aware.
Basically, you need to buy a whole bunch of winches and take them apart and study them.
Right. And so, you know, but do your homework.
Yep.
Because there are, you know, especially with the new wireless remotes and stuff, there's a lot more, you know, parts that's integral to them, especially when you get into the higher end winches.
Mm-hmm.
Do your homework, read your reviews, make sure that people aren't complaining about, you know, winches self-actuating or you know, like I said, with the lag. Now, mine's a Warn, and I will say Warn has some pretty good electronics. But mine's a lower end Warn. So, I mean, I'm at the bottom of the barrel. The Evo is the VR, you know, and it's the bottom of the barrel Warn. You know, so, but definitely, so I probably don't have the same set that some of the, you know, like their comp wench has or the Xeon wench, platinum, but nonetheless, you know, do your homework and make sure that there's nobody, you know, talking about self-actuation or, you know, remote issues or anything like that. Just Google it. Start reading forums and, you know. So,
you get what you pay for.
Yeah. So, you know, to rehashing what we're talking about tonight, IP rating is really good to look at. Kind of gives you a, sort of a standard. You know, figure out your remote options, wireless remote options. If you do really want to use a wireless remote option, make sure it has the pair feature on it, you know, because you're running the better frequency. Make sure that you've got both ropes that you can run, steel or synthetic. Mm-hmm. Like I said, both have their advantages. And construction, you want that new unichassis construction or what you said, it's like a channel that it locks into.
It's a connector plate.
Yeah, it basically makes it look like one unit. Right. So some of the older winches had these cheap bars that bolted in on the other side. And I'm going to stay from that. You want to go into something that looks like one solid piece. And of course, do your homework, read reviews, things like that.
Right. Yeah, absolutely.
I think when you start looking at the major brands of winches, and this is something you're not going to use all the time. And
so, oh, okay. So here's the thing.
Yeah.
I'm going to give a recommendation to everyone. You don't use your winch until you're in a situation that you know you're going to use it.
That's what I was getting ready to say.
Put in, when you're wiring up a winch, put in an automatic kill switch. Not an automatic, but like a physical turnkey switch or a relay.
And Warn makes a kit for those. Warn makes a kit for this. Smitty actually includes a circuit breaker for theirs too, so...
So I took apart a Smitty and they didn't have a circuit breaker.
No. It comes with it. It actually bolts to the battery.
Right. It didn't have anything in that really? Box that I opened. Didn't have it. But
just put one on and had it. But anyway, they have a circuit breaker bank. Too, right. And that's really kind of.
Yeah. So I'm saying, like, get a switch that, you know, when you get to the trail, you pop your hood, you turn the switch. It's your winch is ready to go. It's on.
Yep.
When you get off the trail, turn it off. Winches. You're putting up these winches have, you know, 2-gauge, 4-gauge, or 0-gauge wire going to them.
Yeah.
These things are meant to transfer a lot of power very quickly to a motor.
Yep. When you need it. Yep.
If something fails, your solenoid fails, some, you know, contacts rust up, this, that, or the other thing, that winch will pull your bumper in half. I've seen it happen.
Oh, yeah. Yep. They'll tear. I mean, I've seen guys straighten out bent stuff on their Jeeps on the trails with them.
Like it will pull a bumper in half and literally pull the frame together. Seen it. So put in the safety feature for this because it will not stop. It'll melt your battery.
Yeah.
It'll melt the wires.
It'll burn your Jeep to the ground.
It will.
Yeah.
Yep.
So
be safe
with these things.
Maybe we could post that care of it. Maybe we could post that up on our Instagram. That Warn switch.
Yeah.
It's beautiful. Gorgeous. And I know it comes with the, what is it? The MR winches?
I'm not sure.
I'm trying to think. The M series, whatever it is. But anyway, I think it comes with that because I think I did.
Contractors.
Yeah. I think I put one on a FJ a couple years ago and it came with the switch. But anyway, I did some homework on that last time we were talking and it's a great idea and a nice setup. And like you said, if you chafe a wire and it shorts out, if you know, the winch really is a
great
idea.
You shred a wire in a rad fan like I did.
Yeah.
That could have ended terribly for me.
And I think with winches is, I think it's a, I wouldn't go, and I've told you guys this. I don't feel comfortable right now going out and wheeling my Jeep without a winch.
Okay.
Yeah. And
I would agree with that.
And partly it's so that I can do self recovery, but it's also that maybe you're in a spot that you can't self recover, and we rely on in a snatch block and my Jeep to
Right.
So I think it's very important, but you don't need that all the time. And we've talked that it is part of wheeling. You kind of think you're still pulling winch, pulling line. Sometimes it's kind of a negative.
It's something that it's just another piece of equipment there to keep you forward, you know, keep your forward progress. I mean, listen, if it was a negative thing, we wouldn't have them on there.
Right.
You know what I mean?
And look at King of Hammers. They pull line like
all the time.
They'll pull line to get up a mountain.
Yeah.
Like just keep pulling up.
Yep.
Yeah, they do that.
Or for safety. If it looks like it could be precarious, you could run line and keep yourself from rolling over, right?
Yeah.
You don't need it all the time, but when you do need that winch, you want to know that it's going to be there for you. And so
take care of your winch.
Take care of it. Get the right one.
Yeah,
you know, don't get
correct
one
rating.
Yeah, make sure it's strong enough to pull.
So yeah, you want to. Yeah, so it's funny. I was doing some homework earlier. That's what I was looking at with some winch stuff. But Warren says 1.78 times the weight of the vehicle. Super Winch. I was on their website. They have a great winch basics thing on their website, but it was 1.5 times the vehicle. I would honestly say, I think the minimum anymore, I wouldn't go much less than, like, mine's 1.72. I did the math.
Yeah.
I wouldn't go any less than that, like 1.75 at least.
Yeah.
You know, and if not double the weight of the vehicle. So make sure you're getting the right one. Don't get a 3,000, you know, if you got a Jeep TJ, don't buy a UTV winch. Pulls 3,500.
Yeah, no.
Because that's static weight. You know, it's not going to pull it if you're in thick mud or you got to drag it over a rock or something like that.
Up a hill.
Right.
You know, when gravity puts into effect.
Yep. Yeah.
You want to be... So take the time. I know we'll probably come back and do some more winch talk. But, you know, spend the time and spend the money. You know, it's one of those things. When you need it, you need it. And you don't need a solenoid out or not being able to reverse the line. You know, it just when you need it and take care of it. So let's close the book on that. I am sporting this amazing good looking shirt. Bill, you have yours on.
Yeah.
I know we have
I mowed my lawn in mine yesterday. So
it's my favorite shirt to
wear. It really is, yeah.
We have stuff to buy. And we have swag, and it is on our website. If you go to jeeplifepodcast.com and click on the swag button, it'll take you to Shattered Dream Design, and they're our supplier for our stuff. They help support our website, and it helps support our podcast, helps us make great content for you. So please, go buy some stuff. Computer bags, t-shirts.
Yeah. Most recently, we added broken parts from Puddles on there that you can purchase.
Yeah.
They are actually going to be for auction.
Oh, we do an auction? All right.
So that money is going to go back into Puddles. So broken U-joints, bidding starts at $200.
Sector shafts, steering boxes.
Steering boxes, that bidding starts at $1,000.
There you go.
Yeah. And
is there a buy it now price?
Yeah, $4,000.
I know that we have some giveaways sometimes. Random people, I gave hats.
Oh, somebody got a hat.
So Randy, one of our listeners, got a new hat last night.
There you go. You know,
he happened to be standing in exactly the right spot at the right time. And
could have gone to anybody.
Could have gone to anybody. Who knows? We give stickers away.
We give those out like they're candy.
I actually have two to send out tomorrow.
Yeah.
So if you want stickers, give us some love, and I will send that out to you.
Yep.
We love doing that. I actually love sending out stickers. As silly as it is, handwriting out the envelope, putting a stamp on it, licking it.
You're not licking it. You're using a sponge due to COVID situations.
I'm licking it. I'm not licking that.
What are you licking?
We'll send that out to you. I actually, for some stupid reason, enjoy doing that. So
that's cool. Yeah. And you get to drive your Jeep to the post office.
I do.
Oh, yeah.
That's what he likes the most out of it. Is he gets to drive his Jeep.
Well, the last
just live out of that.
The last time I went to the post office, which is last week, I literally just kept driving. I chased the sunset.
Why not?
West until it got dark, and then I
turned around and came home.
Well, I had to figure out where I was, and then come home. But that was you're right. I do love just getting in my Jeep and going to the post office. That's silly, but that's
chasing sunshine and rainbows.
So where can people show their love for stickers and their wanting of stickers?
You know, that's a great question, Terry. Everyone, I want you to head over to our YouTube channel right now and hit that like and subscribe button, because that button is going to get you the most up-to-date content on the Jeep Life Podcast, our videos, how-tos. Driveway mechanic Frank hooks us up with awesome, great how-to videos of different simple modifications all the way to the big modifications. Yep. And also you can have it over to our Instagram page, Jeep Life Pod, where you're going to get hooked up with all of our latest photos, some video content, maybe special giveaways too.
Yeah.
And obviously our Facebook page for all of you listeners out there watching us live. Hello right now. So it's also where we post all of our events and different things and places we're going to be, which is a lot of fun.
And we'll do lives from there. Like I did a live today while I was out on trail, and we had several listeners that were able to participate.
Right. Yeah. So head over to our Facebook page. If you haven't already hit that like and follow button, do it so you're getting up to date. Every Sunday at 7:30, we're coming to you live.
Yes.
On Facebook Live, YouTube as well. And then obviously our website, jeeplifepodcast.com, where you can get all your swag, download episodes, see photos, get to know the podcast a little bit more in the About tab. So,
man, that was the best. Yeah, that's your job from now on.
Thank you, Vanna.
You did a great job with letting us know where that is.
And you just ring it out, and you got a ShamWow.
I love it. So for Don and Bill, this is Terry. We're going to throw out a big Jeep wave to you. Have a good night, everybody.
All right.